Audience. Here we go. We're live. All right. Oh, guess what?
What?
Today is my 5-year anniversary at EXP.
Oh, happy anniversary, my brother.
I was looking for that compliment. I was searching for it. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, bro, what you've done and what you've built has been extraordinary. It's fun to watch. You're one of my favorites, by the way, man. You're one of my favorites. I love who you are. I love your spirit. And it's congratulations.
You know that's recorded, so you can't take that back.
Oh, you're still one of my favorites. I'll say it in front of you. I'll say it on camera. I'll say it wherever you want me to.
I love it, man. All right. So let's see. Share, share, and share. Awesome, man. Awesome. So as comments come in, I'll make sure to ask them if they are worthy of asking, meaning no haters. But if there are some good questions that we have and you're watching live, please ask. The team is watching and some other people are watching as well. But if you're ready, I'm ready. We can go and get this party started.
I'm ready, brother. Let's do it. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's always great to be in community with you, with your folks, and being able to just share whatever you want to share. So
awesome. And I will say that staircase looks mighty familiar with some of the lives that you do or some of the videos you put on your Instagram. Do you want to plug your Instagram real quick?
Sure. It's Michael Valdez Global on all social media channels, and it's Valdez with an S. And yeah, this is my new place in Dallas that I bought in last September. So having a fun time with it, and it's a great house.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. So for the people who are watching that don't know who you are, do you mind telling everyone who you are, what you do, and how you do it?
Oh, God, that's going to take more than an hour, but let's do it. So I'm Michael Valdez. I'm the Chief Growth Officer for EXP, and I've been with the company 4 years now. I'm about a week shy of my 4-year anniversary. And so 4-year anniversary is on Sunday, actually. So it's you've got a year on me, Ruben. It's happy work anniversary to you. 5 years to you now with EXP today. So really great celebration here to be with you and so see all the accomplishments you've done. But it's been great. So I actually oversee all of our different departments. So U.S. growth, international growth, luxury, commercial, and a few new divisions that we're about to open, which is land and ranch and sports and entertainment. So that's really exciting. I joined EXP in May of 2020. And I joined, when I joined, it was about 23,000 agents. And we were in 3 countries. And now fast forward 4 years later, we're just shy of 90,000 agents. And we're in 24 countries. And we'll be announcing some new countries this year, which will be very exciting. So that's what I do. My whole world is growth. And as the way that we like to see it, is really just changing an agent's life as opposed to just counting a new agent to EXP. So it really is. I was with another company for 15 years and I never thought I was going to leave. And when you actually see this, when you see this model, when you understand what it does for somebody, what it does in someone's life, it really is so emotional because that part can't be put on a balance sheet. You can't put that on a P&L. And so for me, it was super exciting to see this model, to bring it across the globe and how it's done and what it's affected people in their lives around the world. That's what's so gratifying in sitting in this chair.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. After I did my post this morning, you know, hey, 5 years, and these are the cool things that have happened. Someone in the comments actually said that they were with EXP. They left to find some greener pastures and they've came back and they're like, I am so glad I came back. I thought things would be better. So I totally understand that where you don't think you'll leave, but sometimes things happen and now you're at a better place and all of that. So I appreciate that quick story. And I will say I do got 1 year on you, but that's about all I have on you, sir. So let's get started. So number one, and remember, if you guys are watching, if you do have questions, please just ask. Number one, What metrics or KPIs do you prioritize when evaluating the success of your role?
So it really is, there's a few things that we look at. We look at how many agents we've been able to share our story with that see eXp as the right platform and the right place for them. The other thing that we see is, of course, transactions. We were just named number one in transactions in the industry by Real Trends just about a month ago. So the way that we see it again is not the fact that we sold the most homes, but the fact that we put the most amount of families into their homes. So we see this in a lot of different ways. We don't see it as numbers. We see it as what's the effect behind those numbers. So that's how we sort of really measure the metrics. We also have an NPS score. So we want to know where we are, not just with our agent community, but also with our employees. Are we doing things that people sort of feel good about, that they're doing this for the greater good? And I just did some major promotions on my growth team because we're about to double the size of our growth team. So as you see a lot of folks that are really sort of like really their companies and their businesses are constricting, we're expanding. We really believe that with all the noise that's happening in the industry at the moment, this is an opportunity for us. I would say that greatness happens in chaos. And right now our market is a little chaotic. But if you actually quiet noise, you service your clients as you're supposed to, that is when you actually get win, when the dust settles. Our market is things are supposed to happen. Will the market change a little bit with the settlement and with the commission lawsuit? Sure. You continue to do what you're supposed to do, you still win. And by the way, I actually think that the decoupling of the commissions could be the best thing for buyers agents. Because why would you have your ceiling that's going to be dictated by another agent?
Right.
Right. And so now when you show your value to someone, you're limitless as to what you can earn.
Totally agree. You know, one thing that we always say is with every obstacle, there's an opportunity. As obstacles start coming in, we slowly get excited because there is opportunity. We just might have to dig a little bit deeper to find it. Sometimes it's on the surface, but there's always opportunity in every obstacle. That's exciting that the growth team is actually doubling. What are some of the reasons for that, or some of the points of opportunity that you've had to fill with those extra positions? Can you talk to me through that a little bit?
You know, we've had right now the Ruben, are you hearing feedback on your side? I'm hearing major feedback on mine.
No, I'm not, but I could turn it down. Let's see. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Sure thing.
All right, try that.
That's gone now. Thank you. So I heard myself in stereo and one of me is enough.
I took you off the big screen.
All right, awesome. So the idea of coming in and having the opportunity for a lot of these independent brokerages, they're seeing the commission lawsuits, and a lot of them operate on very, very thin margins. And so we have several programs in place. One program is called the Boost Program, which we created for culturally aligned independent brokerages to have a financial incentive for them to move their entire brokerage over to eXp. We have had a lot of independent brokerages join us in the last 6 months. We just did an independent brokerage last week in Florida of 500 agents. We have the earlier this year, we had the Michael Bean Group, which was 650 agents. Right now, Ruben, we're talking to independent brokerages that have over 1,000 agents. And when we have that, we actually have the need to strengthen our internal growth team so that we have the opportunity to serve these agents to the best of our ability. And so what this does is it allows an independent brokerage to come in, still have their name, their branding, the culture that they've built within their own organization, but now come back and not have the responsibilities of a lot of their P&L, a lot of their upfront costs are gone. Now we bear them. A lot of the ability for them to now come in and have a global brand, to be able to have the opportunity to grow around the world, to really be able to have an organization that they build within eXp, to mentor people. This is an incredible opportunity for those brokerages, and they are taking great advantage of this. So we have seen our pipeline grow tremendously. We have a $3 billion pipeline at the moment. That's with a B. And that's a strong pipeline. And so when we actually have to really sort of double our team in order to serve those, that's what we're doing. And I think that, as we said earlier, there is absolutely opportunity in chaos. And when we serve, who are we supposed to serve, which is our industry, our agents, and we are there in the front line giving as much information as we can, and we are leading. We don't have all the answers. We don't pretend that we do. But what we are doing is that we're meeting daily as an executive team. We're finding out what the problems are, what the noise is, what the newest development is, and sharing that with all the agents, giving them a toolkit, giving them the ability to say, okay, if you're dealing with a buyer, here's an opportunity just to sort of show them a one-time property. Here's the document. You don't have to figure it out. So we have three toolkits right now, and we sort of, for buyers, agents, and we say to them, okay, one is if it's our first date, here's the one document that you sign, right? I show you one house. There's another document for, okay, we're dating. So I'll show you more houses, and here's the scope of work that we are agreed to be compensated by. And then there's the final one, which is the exclusive buyer agreement. And it's like, okay, let's get married, right? And so at that point, you're sort of saying, I'm going to represent you exclusively and find your property, and this is what I'll be compensated for. So we're one of the few people that have actually put that in the hands of our 90,000 agents and say, we want you to be protected. We want you to go out and do what you do every single day and show the value that you show. I always say that if you show enough value to the point that you become invaluable, you're now priceless.
Yeah.
You name your own price.
Yeah. So another quote that we always say is price is only an issue in the absence of value. And so, you have to just be there giving it back. Now, there's so many things I want to say with while you were chatting. You know, one of those things is, yeah, you're right. You got us those buyer conversations in terms of agreements and documents. The next week I was talking to one of the leaders within eXp. It was the next week, and they're like, don't worry, it's coming out next weekend. It's like, whoa, that was super quick. The second thing I want to say was, the office that I'm in right now is a broker owner who decided to partner with eXp. And of course, I've been working with them as well. And there's somebody else who's watching this, won't call her out yet, but she's also bringing her brokerage over, and we'll probably announce that later today or maybe even tomorrow. But is because of what you said, the overhead, the liability, all of that starts to really tank down when you align with eXp, and it just allows you to expand an opportunity. Starts to become a lot more as well. So that to be said, I agree with everything you're saying, sir.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. So how do you ensure there's alignment with eXp's overall business objectives? So how do you build alignment with that?
Well, look, we work very, very closely. We are a cohesive team. With me and my team, we meet, we meet every Monday. We talk about what's happening for the week. We look back at the visit of what's happened before, but I've got 8 people on my growth team, and I speak to each of them several times a day, every day. So we have great alignment, and people reach out just for coaching, for ideas. I've got this person, you know, I've got this team, I've got this brokerage. What's a suggestion as to what we do? Here's the obstacle. And we're trying to remove obstacles for folks, right? So we have great alignment. And then on the different departments, the C-suite meets every week as well. Now with Leo Pareja as our new CEO, it's now his meetings. And Leo, I couldn't be more excited about. I've known Leo for over a decade. We're very, very close friends. You consider him my brother. We speak about 10 times a day. And there's a great alignment that's there because, to your point, when an organization is as large as ours and we still have the ability to be as agile as we are, to your point, what you just said, we were talking to somebody about a broker toolkit, and then, you know, a week later, you have it in your hands, and it's across the country and across the world, really, because there's some international folks that are starting to deal with this as well. So when you start looking at where we are and having the ability to deliver to our agents and what our agents' needs are, that's what we do. And here's what's really interesting, Ruben. When you start looking at the C-suite, the majority of the C-suite were agents. I was an agent. I was an agent for 5 years, and I was ranked in the top 1% in the state of Florida. I ran a team. I know what it's like to be able to wake up every morning, and you start from zero, and you start figuring out where is that income, and you start dealing and knocking on the door and dealing with the clients. And when you do that, and when you make all decisions with what is best for the agent, and we say that we are a truly an agent-centric company, we believe that to our core because we were all there. And so that's what I think is a really great differentiator between us and a lot of our competitors, is that when you see who's running a lot of the real estate companies that we compete with, none of them have ever sold a home in their life. None of them have a real estate license, and yet they're running real estate brokerage companies. So I think that when people are looking at that and looking at us, we were all agents. This is truly the majority of our C-suite know what every agent goes through every single day.
Yeah, exactly, man. And another thing that I would say helps with your alignment is literally anytime that I reach out to you guys, leadership within Work Chat, you guys are very quick to respond, including Leo. He's coming back on. He's been on before. He's coming back on in July, lucky enough, right after the NAR really starts to make their changes. So I'm very excited about that. But you're exactly right. And another thing is, you know, I was talking to a friend, and they end up moving to another brokerage. They weren't with the AXP prior. And I just was saying, man, one thing I'm super lucky about, and I posted about this not too long ago, is that EXP, because I came from a different firm, but EXP doesn't get stuck in its ways. It's very quick to move and to listen to the agents and adjust and flow. Yeah. And I've been with a brokerage where that doesn't happen, and it just... there's another thing where it says talent will not be capped. Talent will always find a way. But y'all don't allow that to happen. Like, as soon as we hit our head, it's like, hold on, we've got something. Boom. And it grows a little bit more. So I've been super blessed to be aligned with a company that allows the alignment of the agent to keep expanding.
But you know what? A lot of that comes from the agents. A lot of what we're doing comes from agent ideas. It comes from the agent needs. It comes from you guys reaching out to us. You know, we have agent advisory councils in the United States and in every country in which we operate. Last year, we decided to introduce agent advisory councils in every state. So it is a truly aligned operation where we are hearing from the agents. We know what they want. We start implementing those to better serve the agent community.
Right. I love it, man. I love it. And I will say, for anybody who's watching, again, if you do have questions, please ask. Here's another thing. I'm a leader of one of your departments, for example. Is there a series of questions you ask to get right to the issue? And that is for some of our team owners who like to compress time and get to solution. So I'm a leader of one of your departments. Is there a series of questions you ask me to get right to the issue?
You know, I think that when you allow the space for someone to speak, you will find out what the issues are pretty quickly. So it's always the person who speaks the least is the one who finds out the most.
Yeah.
And if you start asking a series of questions, it may not be the questions that they have and the needs that they have to answer. So you could start by, data doesn't lie. Right. So if you're a team leader and you have someone who is underperforming and you share the numbers with someone and you say, you know, I know you're a rock star. I know you're an incredible leader. Is there something that I can help coach you with to get you back to where you were? And let that space be there and let that person tell you where their faults are. Because if you start sort of saying, you know, your production is down 30%. You sold, you know, this least many houses than you did last year. What's going on? It's very confrontational.
Right.
And if you start sort of saying, hey, you know, last year was, you know, you did a rocking year. And I know that the market is down 20%, blah, 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 whatever it is. It's sort of like, but I know that you're a rock star. I know you've got a brand. How do we sort of get your brand in front of more people? You know, is there anything I can help you with? Right. And sort of like leave that space so that there's a more calming place for them to tell you what's wrong. And there could be something that's happening in their personal life. It could be something, yeah. And then you're there. And if you start coming in with a blasting series of questions, and trust me, I'm a high D. So it's sort of like when you start coming in with that, it doesn't give anyone the space to breathe and tell you what's wrong when you're telling them what they have to do right.
That's a really good thing. You know, so most team leads, at least what I have found, are high Ds. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's just a high driver, not much emotion, just goes in, wants results, you know, which is funny because you must lag with your high I, which is a lot more exciting, vibrant. But for the ones who are having that, how did you make that shift to where the high D wasn't leading the conversation and you were able to allow the space for conversation?
Through a lot of sort of like learning.
Going forward.
It's sort of like, you know, it's when people are calling you a D and it stands for something else.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah.
So you're just there when and it is just a series of learning as you grow, right? And you come in as a leader. You know, my only role as a leader is to create other leaders. It's my only role. Right. It's my only role. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to empower other people to truly lead. And that's why I did the series of promotions that I did last week with my growth team, because what I'm allowing now is the space for them to now have other people under them and for them to truly be other leaders to leaders, because they are incredible in what they do. And if you start elevating, it's almost like, think of it as an incubation, right? So if you've got a team and you're the team lead, your only role is to make your team members team leaders.
Yeah.
Your only role, right? And so you do that by growing your organization, growing your brokerage, growing who you are. And the only way you do that is to be able to instill those people that are part of your organization, part of your team. So it is really, if you come in with that focus, if you come in with saying, okay, let's go back to that same example, somebody whose production is down 30% and you're trying to make them a leader, right? You come in and say, what are the steps that we would take? If you were having this conversation with somebody that is in your team, so have them step into your shoes. So let's just say in 3 years, you're now built your own team and you're the team lead, and somebody in your organization comes in and was down 30%. How would you sort of like come in and handle that
situation? Yeah.
Ask them to put yourselves in your shoes, and now you're not talking to them. You're having them role play what you are, and they're going to exactly tell you what the problem is.
I used to use this all the time in productivity coaching. It was like, hey, listen, say if I were in your shoes, how would you coach me out of this?
Yeah.
and then, you're exactly right. So essentially you're creating a business within the business because you're bringing in leaders and they're expanding. And I will say, just for you to know, it was senior vice presidents. There was a lot of those promotions, and I reached out to one of them. We had a challenge in Tennessee. Same day, that challenge, it was with one of our people within our organization as a 13-person team, able to get it handled same day. So you promoted the right people, man. They were good, and they got right on it. So
who was it? I just want to know who it was. I want to give them kudos.
Amy Weaver, man. Amy Weaver.
I love Amy. Amy's amazing. And I got to tell you something. Amy really was touched with the promotion, but really she's so ready for it. And I had my growth meeting yesterday. And I go into all of my growth members and ask them for their pipeline. And I said to Amy, it's your team now. You do this part. And she's like, oh, okay. And she stepped right into my role for that with no prepping. So it was beautiful to watch.
I love that you do those challenges. Now, are those challenges for a reason?
Yeah, it's because of my only responsibility is to create other leaders. Absolutely. It all comes back to that, Rupert. There's no magic, yeah, right? It's the idea that my job gets done if I create other leaders, because as we continue to grow, I can't solve problems for 90,000 people.
That's right.
If you would have called me about an issue with a 13-member team in Tennessee, I would have had to call six other people and tried my best. And yesterday was a rock solid day and probably would not have been able to give you the answer in a day, right? Because it's just a matter of time, right? We're reporting news today. Everybody was really super busy with trying to get everything together. And, you know, there was a lot of things happening yesterday. And so it was one of those things that if you don't empower the people that are around you to solve for your issues, you know, for anybody else's issues, you don't continue to grow. So as the growth officer, my responsibility is growth. And the only way that I do that is by empowering my team to continue to grow.
That's right. That's right. 100%. And, you know, one of the things that we do, we build this funnel for people that start to enter our world. And one of the things is, one of the questions we ask them, and it's in the system, right? It's the SOP at this point, but we ask, and for anybody who wants to take this, we ask, hey, are you up for a challenge? And the challenge is a simple challenge afterwards, but the idea is to help identify someone who's willing to lean into the unknown for a reward. Yeah. And so it helps us identify, like you said earlier, talent or leadership within our own organization.
Absolutely. And, yeah, and by the way, we see that within the agent community as well, right?
Right.
So we are all over the regional rallies and things like that because we want to know who those agent leaders are that we don't know yet, right? We know the builders, we know who's on our top production lists, right? We know who the top 250 are, but who's number 255?
Right.
We wanna know them too, because that's the next generation of leaders in our organization. So that's important. And, you know, Leo and I are dedicated to calling everyone, being in community with people, right? And that's exciting for us. We still lead the top production mastermind. So Leo and I do that. We just did one in Oakland for top team leads about a month ago in Kenny Trong's office. And it was an incredible day. And we had it for, we come in for the full day, 8 hours. So it's truly a mastermind. And we're doing eight of them this year. And so these are all of the folks that have qualified for through their production activity. And the conversations that happen there actually elevate people to their next level of production. And that's what's so, so exciting, right? And that's what's important also. And so with that, and then we also are cognizant of the next level, right? The next level of production. It didn't quite make the top list. So I'm actually going to start a series of masterminds with Brian Ellington, who is our chief learning officer. And he's a rock star. And so we are incubating again that next set of leaders with these other sets of masterminds.
Totally, man. I love all of this, man. You know, I was talking to Susan McClain and she mentioned, I was trying to identify again more talent, because talent, at least what we've heard, is about 100 to 1. So it's a conversion that is difficult to find. So maybe there's some systems to help find it. And you're definitely talking about this. So for anybody who's taking notes, please take notes and take action on this stuff, because obviously it works. But another thing we do is once they join our organization, we have about a 4-month period. I'll check to see if they closed a deal. And if they closed a deal in the first 3 to 4 months from being here, then we're reaching out and we have a series of questions that we ask them from Susan that helps us identify the perfect person that we can move to the next role. But it's all done by result. Like, it's all done by action taking. So thank you. Thank you, man. You're just confirming a lot of the stuff that we do. And I'm personally taking notes that we could carry on to our organization as well. And great for y'all doing masterminds, man.
You know what? You mentioned Susan just now, and it was interesting because she's one of the people that I promoted as well. And when you start thinking about Susan came in to my team to run retention, right? So she was head of retention. And working with all of our leaders with retention. And some of the feedback that we got from our agents was that retention was a negative word. that it's someone that you're trying to save, right? And so it was like, never thought of that, but you know what? It made sense to me. And we changed the name of the department. So Susan is now VP of Agent Success. And it is a completely different mind shift, right? So I'm not retaining you. I'm not trying to save you. I'm trying to make you successful.
Right.
And it was a complete mind shift and I loved it. And that came from a few agents. And I said, you know what? You're right. It actually came from Jesse Zagorski. And Jesse and I had a really long conversation about it. And I said, you know what? I agree with you. And everybody, everybody else calls it the retention department and every other brokerage, right? We're not every other brokerage, right? We're agents.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it feels good. I'm going to call, you know, we're going to call it Agent Success now.
Yeah, I love that. Jesse and I, really, I've helped make a video that he put together. Not sure if you saw it yet, but if you haven't, be on the lookout.
Send me the link.
I will. All right, let's move on to the next one. In your opinion, what are the key emerging trends that real estate as a whole should leverage to drive growth in the coming years?
Well, look, again, you're looking at where opportunity lies, right? And right now, there's a lot of, it's almost like the perfect storm where you've got high interest rates, you've got the broker commission lawsuits, you've got the NAR settlements, and people don't know what to do with all of this. And sometimes when you've got one, two, three things happening at once, some people just check out. Some people just say, I'm going to leave the industry. It's just too much right now. And that's actually the saddest thing, because if you actually double down, if you actually do what we're doing, we're doubling down on our growth team when a lot of other are having great contrition. And they're trying to sort of like get people off of their books. This is an incredible opportunity that we have in our careers and in our lives right now. And when we stick it through, when we understand what it is, imagine this. If you had 20% of your competition leave, didn't it just get better?
Yeah, there's more space in the marketplace.
There you go. And if there's fewer people that are professionals that can serve the client, your business just got busier. But if you're one of the 20% that leave, you're gone. You're out of the game. And so there's a great opportunity now to just quiet the noise.
Yeah.
To just really double down on what you're doing, serving your clients. And you're going to find out that you're going to have a lot more of them. Because right now, you know, one of the worst things that happened in our industry was 2020 and 2021 when, you know, these 20-year-olds came into our industry and watched all of these Bravo reality shows on real estate and said, I'm going to go be a millionaire. And unfortunately, some of them did. And they were order takers, right? And you had an Instagram account and, you know, you came from the catwalk to the real estate licensing bureau and you got your license and, you know, you were an influencer and a model and 22 years old and never sold anything. And all of a sudden you're selling million-dollar homes.
Yeah.
Now it's 2024 and you actually have to be a professional. And you're like, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to go back to the catwalk. Right. So that whole thing of having an inflated market where everyone came in and made money, that wasn't healthy for our industry.
Yeah.
Our industry is cyclical. We're supposed to have we're supposed to have interest rates go up and down. This is actually healthy. It's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's supposed to happen. And so if you embrace that and know that, that's when you have your success.
Totally, man. And if they, and I did post something not too long ago, it was that I was getting a few calls, you know, quite a few in 1 week where people were struggling that they weren't seeing the results of the actions they were taking. And I think on some level, we are, like you said, we are in a season of, you know, hustle, move a lot and not see quite as many results. But if you look at it as a reflection of just as much as life, it is like a pendulum. Right. There's good and bad times just in life, in your personal world. It's the same thing in business. And right now it may be swinging to the left just a little bit, but it will swing right back to the right. And you will get the benefit of it, of the right, if you just stay consistent and stay in the game. Everything you just said. And I agree, man, 100%.
Well, what you're doing now is that you're building for when the other side of this is back to that pendulum, to your example.
That's right.
And then you win.
Yep, totally. What are your methods for evaluating and mitigating risk associated with growth initiatives?
So look, we are still a publicly traded company. We still have to be a financial responsibility. I'm a director of this company. So we have SEC regulations that we have to abide by. And we need to know that any decision that we make is the right decision for not just the company, but also for the other 90,000 agents that are a part of this company, right? Because it's a reflection of one organization. And so when we start, I'll look at new countries, for example. We look at where is the market now? How healthy is that market in there? What's our competition? We don't want to be the pioneer in a new market. We want to make sure that there's healthy competition. We want to know what the agent count is. We want to be able to know that there isn't any political risk, currency risk, things of that nature as we look at other companies. Because unlike many of our competitors that are franchised, we're not a franchise. We're one company. We're the largest independent in the world. And when you start looking at that, anything that you do reflects on your company as a reputational risk, but also as a financial risk. So you want to be able to know that you're going into markets that are stable, that are secure. And so those are some of the things that we look at when we look at growing internationally, for example, right? So I'll give you some examples. In the UK, we've been open there just shy of 5 years. And in that time, we've grown to be the number five brokerage in that entire country. In South Africa, we are the fastest growing real estate company in the history of real estate in South Africa. We have 1,200 agents in just shy of 3 years, and we're ranked number 8 out of 5,000 brokerages in South Africa. And so, you know, we continue to look at opportunities, we continue to look at things, and so we're expanding. And as we continue to expand, we want to make sure that we're expanding in a way that makes sense to the countries in which we're in already. So think of it as a shopping mall, right? I wanted like my anchor tenants, right? I want the Apple store. I want to be able to sort of know that I'm there. So I'm looking at larger territories. So territories like India, Brazil, Mexico, we wanted to make sure that we had a foothold there. And so then we'll fill in the rest of the spaces. And so now that we look at what is our productive countries, for example, we want to make sure that we're opening next set of countries in countries that are, is this a feeder market from this country to another? Is this how we continue to grow our brand globally? Because now you have to think about eXp Realty is now a global brand. We made a decision actually last year that we were not going to name them by country. So it's not eXp Dubai. It's not eXp, you know, Chile. It's just eXp Realty, right? Yeah. That helps building that global brand that we're building.
Right. Yeah, totally. And I love the analogy that you gave about the mall, which will obviously help mitigate risk for an agent. You know, obviously you're looking at very top level things, you know, the world, I don't know, expanding in the world. And which we do, by the way, have the opportunity as regular agents to expand in the world, our own organization. Let me just say that. But for you, and if you could just break it down to the agent level, what would be maybe one key item that they could evaluate that they may be faced with given the climate as they start to grow to mitigate their own risk?
So look, when you run your company, you're running your own company, whether you're a solo agent, you're a team lead, or you're a broker owner, you're the CEO of your own company, even if it's just you. You have to know your numbers. There are so many agents. Over 80% of the agents that are out there do not have a business plan. And it drives me insane, right? I've been in the real estate business now for over 20 years. Before that, I was in banking for over a decade. And if you do not have a foundation from when you can build from, you'll never know when you arrive. And so there is, you have to know what you're spending. What's your customer acquisition cost? I ask this to an agent and they look at me like I have 12 heads. How much did you spend in advertising? What did you get from it? What's your ROI on your advertising spend? What did you actually sort of like get something out of it? That's your customer acquisition cost. How much are you spending on Facebook ads? How much are you spending on your videographer for your property videos? When you go through that, you have to understand, you've got to run this like a business. If not, you're going to be out of business because you're going to run out of money, right?
Exactly.
It's called P&L for a reason, profit and loss. So what do you spend to get to your profit? And that's important. And the other part of it is investing in yourself. What's your coaching? What's your training? How do you better yourself? How do you actually become a more valuable asset? Remember, look, with our clients, the consumer, you can find almost anything you can find on the internet. I don't need an agent. I don't need you, right? And so what value are you actually bringing to the equation so that I do need you, right?
Yeah.
What's the best schools there? You're not selling a home. You're selling a lifestyle. You know, if I'm moving, you know, I just bought this house in Dallas, right? And so I moved from Miami to Dallas. And so I still have the Miami place because I can't give up Miami. But instead of like, I moved here.
EXPCON's there now, man.
No, it's so easy, right? I found this house on the internet. And I loved the house, right? And then I asked one of our EXP agents in Dallas about the neighborhood. And they're like, it's a great neighborhood. And so I was like, okay, tell me more, right? And I liked the house. I didn't know the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? And so that person that filled in the blanks for me became my agent, right? Because I can find really great things. I just don't know. You know, am I next to a gas station, right? Am I sort of like, what's going on? What's the neighborhood? What's the lifestyle? What's happening here? And so that's the value that you can't find on the internet. You know,
totally.
I had when I was selling houses, there was a great story. I had a very wealthy individual and I sold him a house as a door knock, by the way. It was my second sale at $12.6 million. As a door knock on something that wasn't on the market, by the way. And it was just, it was basically the house that they wanted. They described it to a T and went in and made the thing happen. They bought the house. And then there was a private community in Miami. And there was a school in that community. And he wanted to have his kid go to that school. But you needed to have two people that were already in the school to give you letters of recommendation. He didn't know anybody. He was from a foreign country. And so so I did, because I sold other properties. I literally went and knocked on the door of the people that I knew in my team that had sold there. And they actually gave me the letters for him. I flew to Moscow and he was expanding the house. And then he says, is there anything else? He asked me about the school and he says, is there any follow-up on getting Mishka into the school? And I handed him the acceptance letter and he looked and he was just like, what is this? And I said, he's already accepted. It's like, how? And you know, when you can get a billionaire to be flabbergasted, that's a good day in my book. And so he literally made my real estate career. I sold him his house in Aspen in the south of France, and literally was my best client until the day I got out of production and into the corporate world.
Dude, wow, what a good story. How good, how big did your chest blow up after you left that conversation? Were you just feeling
good, man? Damn good. Right?
That's awesome, man. I love that. Yeah.
You have to be the ultimate concierge to someone, especially if you're in the luxury space, for those that are doing luxury, because they get everything, right? And if you're bringing value to them, even to the point, whether it doesn't have to be a billionaire, that's an extreme story. But if you're bringing value to somebody, they're never going to leave you, right? It's like what I was saying earlier. If you bring enough value to the point that you're invaluable to them,
they become
priceless. You can name your own price.
Yeah, totally. Again, price is only an issue in the absence of value. So name that price.
There you go.
Got a few more questions, and then of course I'll let you go. What personal value used to be extremely important to you that has recently flipped?
Oh, that's such a good question. Wow, that's a really good question. You know, probably pride, because it's I never like. I'll tell you a story, Ruben. And when I was 25, I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and wow. Went through that. And you know, you're not supposed to be your mortality is not supposed to be tested in your 20s, right?
Right.
And so it, to me, it was the greatest gift, because what it did was at in my 20s, when most people are concerned with what do other people think about you, it was a great gift because I was only concerned about having tomorrow.
Yeah. Right?
And so I didn't care what anyone thought about me because I had greater problems. And it was a gift to me because it stayed with me all these decades, right? And so I've never really had a big issue of, oh, you know, I want to do something to be liked or somebody else, you know, whatever. But I think that as you, as I get older, it's sort of like a lot of it is to me, you know, remember that whole thing with Jerick Robbins, you know, your first mountain is what you climb for yourself and what you build. And your second mountain is what you leave behind and look back at the first mountain.
Totally.
And that to me was a really, you know, that stuck with me. And for me, it's, you know, I'm in my second mountain, and you know, I about 2 years ago, I renamed the name of my trust, because it was the Valdez Family Trust, and I renamed it to Herencia, which in Spanish means legacy. And everything that I own is now retitled under that. And so what happens is that I see it every day, and it's a constant reminder, because you get, you know, an email on, especially now in tax season, it's sort of like you get an email on something and something's in the mail, and everything is under the name of the trust. And it's a constant reminder to know that this is the page of legacy, and it's not about your name. It's about what you leave behind for others.
Right. Yeah. I love that. You know, I was speaking to high schools all last month, about five or six of them in our area, talking about entrepreneurship to kids. And that was one of the things, you know, was that right now, and not that I could go to a beach and just hang out and do nothing and just kick my feet up. And I was like, guys, you know how incredibly boring that would be, and how selfish that would be for, and I don't know everything, but I know some. And then Sarah, who just said woohoo, she's the one who got me into these schools. She's one of our agents. Thank you, Sarah, so much. But it doesn't make sense for you to hold on to that, because you go through these things in life to become a teacher for others.
That's right.
It's basically the point. And for you to hold it to yourself and then just relax on a beach for the rest of your life, it just seems incredible for personally, not for the person who's doing this right now. Please don't take this wrong. But it does seem selfish at the moment, because you do. Yeah, and you can just give it, and you should be giving it. That's a form of gratitude for what you've been through in life.
It's true.
All right, a few more. Worst piece of advice you have ever got?
Worst piece?
Yeah.
God. Well, first thing that comes to mind, and I probably should have seen your questions before I jumped on this, but
it's I don't ever hand them out, so that's
okay. So good. I thought my assistant didn't give it to me. Okay, good.
No.
I remember when I was looking at EXP, and my accountant, who is one of my dearest friends, I've known him 30 years. We went to school together, and he said to me, "You're crazy." When I said to him, "I'm coming to EXP," and he says, "You're number three in the largest real estate company in the world," and he says, "Why would you leave to a startup?"
Mm.
So I said, "You know what? I can phone my job in, and if you're not excited about what you're doing, and if you're not challenged, it's when you start dying."
Yeah.
I was just like, I need something different. And so the worst piece of advice was from him. He sort of said, "Don't do it." 6 months later, he called up and he says, "Okay, I was wrong."
Is he with eXp now?
No, he's my accountant.
Oh, okay. Okay, I may have missed that part. Yeah. But you're exactly right. I had a mentor growing up. His name was Pedro Asornio. And great guy, came from nothing, built restaurants in our area, became self-made. And he ended up passing away. But one thing that kept him living, I believe, for later years in life, for a long time, because love him to death, he smoked like a chimney. So, but he lasted for a while, but he stayed busy. He was always in his investment properties. He was always thinking. He was always moving. He was always being challenged. And I took that in too. So I agree with you on the story that you said. Two more. What never fails to make you laugh?
What never fails to make me laugh? Life. I always try to find, it's people sort of say to me, God, you're always smiling. And I said, well, the alternative sucks.
That's true.
Come on. Why am I going to be grumpy, right? Instead of it's not going to make me any happier. And so I always try to find the humor in things.
I love that. Last one. Who would you like to be stranded? I know this is random. This is something that's been asked probably 1,000 times to other people, but I'm curious. Who would you like to be stranded on an island with? You can't choose someone from your family because we got to keep the missus happy, and other. But who would it be?
God. Who would it be? Probably somebody like Jeff Bezos. How do you become the richest man in the world, right? And so, what's that story? How do you start Amazon in your mind and sort of say, all right, it's going to be this book selling thing, and we're going to sell books online, and then it's like, how do you pivot to, we're going to sell everything online? How do you pivot to, I'm the largest company in the world? And it's like, was that an original vision? Was that a vision that, it's always the idea that we think too small. And when you challenge yourself to truly think big, just how big can you think? When you think that everyone on the planet knows your company, how do you sort of do that? Where does that fit? Right.
Yeah.
And so that would be an exciting conversation to have.
Yeah. I feel like anything that you talk, and this might be like you started this whole thing with, which is the more you're quiet, the more you can find those answers.
Yeah.
But I would wonder that maybe some of the things that I would ask is how do we get off this island? He'd say, how do we stay on this island? Build a company, and then one of our drones pick me up and take me out of here. It's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I feel like everything swings the other way in terms of thought for somebody who has built a company that big. You're exactly right.
Yeah, let's get the trees down and build a community, and then we'll it'll be like Gilligan's Island, right?
Exactly. And I was like, I thought we were getting off this thing. He's like, where's the competition on the island, sir? We could just. And you're like, you're right. Any last things? Any question? Any last questions you'd like to ask, or any last statements you'd like to ask before you go about your day and conquer the world?
Look, I think that as you have an incredible spirit, As you and I have gotten to know each other over the years, I do think that you're an amazing leader and you were so relatable to so many people. And I thank you for what you do and for the audience that you have listening. Everyone says to me, how did you break into luxury when you were in production and things like that? Because I believed that I could. And that is a very simple statement, but it's also, when you think about it, it is to the core of what I believe and what I do, right? And when you start thinking about that, there is no other obstacle. When you have people around you that try, in the best interest of people, saying to you, no, don't do that because you're going to get hurt, or don't try that business because you're going to fail. And do you know that, 80% of people who have a real estate license don't make any money in their first year? Why would you do that? And there's a lot of people around you. The people that are around you are your support team, right? And they're supposed to be so. And you know, I always say every now and again, you've got to fire your friends. And it sounds really harsh, but it's how you continue to succeed. Remember, you are, you know, you came into this world alone and you leave alone, right? Yeah. So you have to satisfy who you are first. And that's totally. Not selfish, that's selfless.
Yeah.
Because that's when people sort of say on a plane, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help anyone else. And at first it seems selfish because if you're a parent and you're traveling with small children, your first reaction is to make that oxygen mask goes on that four-year-old, right? But imagine that you pass out because of lack of oxygen. Have you done that child any favors? Right? You have to make sure that you're first protected so that you can protect everyone else. And when you have people around you that to the best of their ability think that they're protecting you by saying, don't do something, you have to believe enough. And you have to sometimes spend less time with those people and find new people that will be able to fill your positive thoughts. If you start thinking about something, everything in life is infinite. Air is infinite. The amount of money you can make is infinite. Everything is, the only thing that's finite is time.
Yeah.
We have the same 24 hours. Jeff Bezos and I, that's what we share in common. You do it now. That's what we share in common. And
yeah. So
if you sleep for 8 hours, if you work for 8 hours, if you got 8 hours left and you spend time with your family or you go to the gym and you start knocking down those hours, you're left with maybe like 2 to 3 hours that you spend with friends and in community with other people, right?
Yeah.
Those 2 or 3 hours overall in an average are going to be super special because if you're filling that gap with things that are negative, it's going to not let you succeed. So if you fill that 2 hour gap with people that are super positive, that are actually telling you, you can do that. You know what? 80% do fail, but I know you're in the 20. And that's what actually gets you. We all deal on a different vibration. And it's really like your thought patterns. Everything has a vibration. Your thought patterns have a vibration, and they're very powerful. And if your vibrations are positive, that's what you actually sort of bring back to you. So believe in yourself. That's my closing thoughts.
I'm not saying anything after that. That was great, man. And I might just replay the end of this over and over and over. I wholeheartedly believe in that and believe that everything, well, because truly everything is vibration. And if you could meet on those same frequencies, especially if they're higher vibrations, man, does that elevate you, your loved ones, your thought, your vision, and everything else. So, man, thank you so much for jumping on here. If there's ever anything myself or anyone else could do for you, please reach out. We'd love to help you. And again, thank you so much for taking your time out just to give the value and love that you've given so far, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Have an amazing day.
You too, buddy.
All right, bye.